Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Walking in Faith. Noah faithfully preached salvation through faith in the Lord until he finished the ark, and God then loaded the ship with the animals, birds, and insects, and the floodwaters came after the door was shut. The ark was seaworthy, but it had no rudder, sails, or oars to control its movement, and Noah and his family had to persevere in cramped quarters until God released them 1 year later. Noah faced giants and evil all around him before the flood. That stiffened his resolve to serve the Lord, but he began to relax after the flood, and his spiritual life took a dive in the absence of all the previous pressure. Eventually, he made the fatal mistake of letting go of his tight walk with God and pursued his fleshly desire of getting drunk, cursed one of his sons, and that is the last record of him in the Bible. It's a shame that Noah started as a hero of the faith but ended his life in defeat. This message is entitled, The Man That Floated Away. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on September 11th, 2011. And today we're going to finish up the story of Noah and his faith. So let's stand and let's pray and let's seek the Lord. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments that you've given us. And Father God, I do pray for our nation, Lord, as we are going from one judgment to the other judgment week after week, Father, that our people will wake up, pastors will wake up, Lord, and begin to call people to repentance and to seek your face. And Father God, I pray right now that you will open the word for us. Give us understanding as we get into the word of God, that we might learn from it, we might live from it, and we can be victorious from it. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. To get ready, turn with me to Genesis chapter 7. That's Genesis chapter 7. We're going to read the first 16 verses. We're going to talk about the evacuation that took place many, many years ago. And as I spoke about here last week, the flood evacuation project was commanded by God. Holy angels took care of the logistics. And Noah and his three sons worked with the angels to build a boat that would be used to save them. After about 100 years working on this project, the word came from God, enter the ark. Enter the ark. Let's read from Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1. And the Lord said to Noah, come, you and all your house into the ark, for you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast you should take you 3 by 7s, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by 2, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by 7s, the male and the female, to keep seed alive on the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when a flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, of fowls, and of everything that creeps upon the earth. There went in 2 and 2 into Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass at the 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day where all the fount of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the seventh day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives and his son with them, into the ark. And then we read in verse number 16, a day that went in, within male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. This is a time now where Noah had been building on this ship boat for about 100 years. And I'm sure that he had thought about what would happen down the road. And then one day, the voice of God came to him and said, Noah, it is time to go into the ark. And I'm sure that Noah went in with a heavy heart, because he knew what would happen to the rest of the population. He had cousins out there. There were uncles and aunts. There were relatives that belonged to him, his wife and their daughters, not the daughters, but the wives of the sons, had relatives. And they went into the ark. And once it had got in and all the animals, everything else had come in, God shut the door. This is what the Holy Spirit is giving me here right now in a moment. I just got a few seconds ago. There will come a time in your day and my day when the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And at that day, we will hear announcements on the radio, television, that the world crisis has been solved. The global economic crash, the crisis we've had for years, has been solved. And that every head of state have secretly met, and they have discovered one man that has the solution to this problem. And the first step that he's going to ask, that will be asked of all people in all nations, will be to register at a certain location and there be given a universal identification number that will be for the entire world. And if you do not take that universal identification number, you cannot be part of the global solution that this man, this genius, has given the world leaders. I want you to mark my words now. Some of us will be alive on that day. And you will hear that announcement either on television or radio. And at that moment, you will recognize the reign of the Antichrist has begun. The tribulation period is here. If you have not walked in the supernatural now, you will panic. It is estimated by biblical scholars that the ark contained about 40,000 species, and it would have been impossible for Noah and his sons and their wives to go around all over the earth and bring in the animals. the birds, insects, and so on. And I believe that God used angels. And I want you to take you right now to Matthew chapter 10. That's Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew chapter 10. As I was talking to our friend from Sweden here this week, Jan Pettersson, he told me this, that in Sweden, in order for you to be paid, if you work for a corporation, if you work for a store, or you work for a school of the government, you must have a bank account. There are no cash paid out to anyone in Sweden. If you do not have a certain bank account where they can do a direct deposit, you cannot be paid in Sweden. You cannot go up to the employer and simply say, well, I don't like this. I want to be paid in cash, or at least give me a check so I can go to the bank and cash it and get cash. You can't do that. Total control. We get in close here. Try to take out $5,000 cash from your bank account, and they will ask you to fill in a form. You have to give your name and number, social security number, and so on. And many banks says, well, we don't have that much money on hand. You have to come back tomorrow so we have the cash for you. We're getting very, very close to the coming of the Antichrist. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28, as Matthew 10, 28, Jesus said this, and fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head, they're all numbered. Fear you not, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. God said, not even a little sparrow can fall to the ground unless God knows it. Your hairs are covered, which means that God's holy angels are constantly out there ministering and taking care of things. Let me say one thing more about control. When Gert Timmerman was here, a year ago now, he told me this, that in Belgium, which is part of the European Union, they do not take cash when you pay for things. And he said he had a credit card, which has his personal number on it. And even if he goes to the city dump, or he wants to go someplace, whatever it is, you pay with a debit card, which goes straight into your bank account. So you have a direct deposit, and you can only use it by debit card. Now, when they come out with a mark of the beast, they don't have to look you up. They will simply freeze your account if you have not been registering as having taken the mark of the beast. Let's turn back now to Genesis chapter 7. That Genesis chapter 7. We're going to pick it up now in verse number 17. And I said this, it must have been a tremendous, horrible noise when suddenly the rain began to come down. And I believe at that time, as it started to rain, that the people living around the ark, they had never seen rain before in their lives. They heard about the flood, and when they saw the downpour, I'm sure that tens of thousands ran to the ark, banged on it, cried out to Noah, "Noah, open the door. We believe now." At that time, the door was shut. Noah could not open the door, and it was too late. Genesis 7:17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. It was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and was increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, of a beast and of every creeping thing that creeped on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils were the breath of life, of all that was in a dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Today, the ark is Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we are saved, and our salvation is in him. I can imagine, as the waters begin to rise, that the people were screaming, crying out, scurrying around, finding tree branches, planks, whatever they could find. As the water began to rise, they were just clinging to all this, trying to float as the waters increased. And probably for a day or 2 days, Noah could probably hear the crowd out there screaming and hollering and crying and praying and repenting. And then after maybe 2 or 3 days, the voices begin to get fainter and fainter. And then as the ship was lifted up, in shock, Noah realized there was no more noise. Every voice had been silenced. They'd all had died. Turn to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Revelation, the 6th chapter. You know, I believe that you and I, we really don't take the Bible too literal. We don't believe it. If we did, we would witness in a different way. But in Revelation 6:12, we read this. And I beheld, when he opened his 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even the fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she shaken in a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid himself in a dens in the rock of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" As I've been talking to this brother from Sweden, Jan, this week, I asked him, what are they preaching on in Sweden? What are they talking about in the churches? And he told me this, they're not talking about the mark of the beast. Basically, they're simply talking about good things, positive things, unity, And of course, unity with our Roman Catholic Church. Everybody together in one ship. And I thought about this. If people are not warned, how can they repent? Are you warning people? Every day you're with people around you. Some of them are saved, some of them are not saved. Most of them are not saved. Are you looking upon them that one day they'll be crying to the rocks? They might not like you. They might not understand it. But are you telling them that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are you telling them there's a hell? There's a lake of fire coming. Are you telling them about death and hell? Or are you simply letting things slide and saying, well, they deserve it? Somebody warned you and me. I want you now to turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to look upon the faith of Noah. The faith of Noah. Let me read to you what I have in the box here. Noah entered the ark with total faith in God. The ark had no rudder, sails, or oars. Noah was completely helpless, and he had to trust that God would take care of the boat. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Noah standing out of the ark. It had one door. He knew that once he got into the ark, he could not get out. God would close the door. As he looked upon that monster ship, he realized, if I go in there, I have to trust God completely. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whoso shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that all things which he says shall come to pass, he should have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. This is the faith that simply Noah said, I believe God. If you are alive, would you hear the broadcast on radio and television that there's going to be a universal mark for every man, woman, boy, and girl on this earth? Will you hear that? Would you have faith and say, so be it, Lord God. I have walked with you for these years. I have faith that you will either feed me supernatural. If I'm going to be a martyr, so be it. But I'm not going to panic. I am simply going to leave my home. I'm going to go out someplace. And now I'm going to be starting to trusting you for everything that I need to be sustained. I want you to think about this. Do you have that faith today? People that had their homes burned in Texas last week. They ran away, and all they had left was just the clothes on their back. They came back, everything was burned. What would you do today if you were told that the only thing you have now is a cloth that you have on you? Your car will be taken away. Your credit cards will not work anymore. Your cash is no good. All we would have is what we have on us. No food supplies. Would you panic? Would you cry? Would you scream? Or would you simply say, my Heavenly Father, at least let me preach outside these places where they take the mark of the beast and warn as many as possible? Or would you run away and says, oh dear God? Worst of all, would you simply say this, God, I cannot take this. Sorry, God, I'm going to go and take the mark. There will be probably 90% of all believers in Christ living at that time will take the mark of the beast. Because they've been told by the pastors it's just a trademark, just business, financial. Doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as a mark of the beast. Book of Revelation is just a fairy tale, you know, just symbolic. They will. But let me tell you this. Once you take the mark of the beast, you can never repent. It doesn't matter if you're on your knees 24 hours a day. If you fast and pray and scream and holler and say, God, I made a terrible mistake. Once you take the mark, you are damned forever. No more forgiveness. I cannot emphasize that strong enough. That's a time when you simply say, if my children die and we die, it's better to die in the Lord and to live forever in eternity with God than to live a few years here, have some food, and then live forever in a lake of fire. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. We need to prepare because that day is coming. Now, the flood lasted. God simply had the waters going for 150 days. Turn to Genesis 8:1 right now. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the winds of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. 150 days floating on the waters. 3 months later, they could see mountaintops. 40 days later, Noah opened the window of the ark. He had been there for 1 year. 1 year. We don't know the conversation that took place there. We don't know what they spoke about. But Noah had faith. His sons had faith with him. The wives had faith with him. Noah's wife had faith. They believed that someday this water would have been gone. I want you to turn to Psalms 103. Why did God think about Noah, remember him? Because God has compassion. Psalms 103. And I want you to think about this because when we are hitting our time of judgment on this earth, we should remember Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy your mouth with good things, that your youth are renewed like the eagles. The Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all their oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts upon the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not overchide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sin, the rewards according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. Like as the father pities the children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows us. He has mercy for us. He knows how much we can take. You know, on that day when the mark of the beast is announced and it started, it's going to be probably a period or maybe a month or so that they give grace period to take it. And I have a feeling in my spirit that some of us are going to be alive at that time. And you're going to find that your wife took the mark. You might find your husband took the mark. You might find your children took the mark of the beast. And they talk to you on the phone and they meet you and says, "Well, Dad, you know, I don't believe like you do, Dad. I got to think about my children. You know, we got to live. It's okay for you, Dad. You're older. You have your faith in God. I don't have that faith that you have." There'll be a day that your heart is going to break. You're going to look upon that wife or husband or child. You're going to see the mark on the hand on the forehead. And you will know this, that my son, my daughter, my wife, my uncle, whoever it is not doomed for the lake of fire. There is no hope. It would be an awful feeling. You know, we can prepare now. You can push the message now. You can plead with people now. But the day will come. Well, you cannot simply say, "Well, God will take care of you. I give you over to God." God said, "I will not take care of you." He's gone. He got the mark. It's over. We are in for some serious times. Very serious times. Teaching patience. In Genesis 8, 5 through 16, "The earth was dry on the first day of the first month, and Noah's family had spent over 1 year in the ark before the Lord let them leave the ship." So Genesis 8, 5. And I pick it up in verse number 5 here. "And the water decreased continually until the 10th month of the 10th month of the first day of the month, with the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark which he had laid. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth and to and fro until the water was dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned to him in the ark, for the waters even the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. And he stayed it another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So no one knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, and the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry." He still couldn't leave the ark. Patience. "And in the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons, and your sons' wives with you. He finally said, Now, Noah, you can go. God is teaching you and me patience. Patience is something that we don't have a lot of. We can't go and buy it at the store. God, I want to be healed today. God, I want a job now. God, I want this now. But you got to learn to wait upon the Lord. In verse number 20, what was the first thing Noah did? When Noah came out of the ark, he didn't say, Yippee! Let's go and run and forget this old boat. What was the first thing he did? He said, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to sacrifice. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Let me ask you this. When you are successful with a job, when you are successful whatever it is the first thing that you do is to take time to simply drop to your knees and thank the Lord and say, My Heavenly Father, I thank you for that great job you gave me. I thank you for the money that came in. I thank you for my healing. I thank you, Lord. We need to be thankful. We need to remember God and praising Him. Not only praying when we have a pain, but praising Him when we don't have a pain. God made, accepted the offering. And he made a covenant with Noah. Verse 21. Have you read this? In 8:21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I would not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will again smite any more everything living as I've done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God gave Noah a covenant. And that covenant is still good with you and me today. But there will come a day when that covenant will cease. Turn to 2 Peter 3. That's 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also that works out therein shall be burned up. Seeing, then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasten the coming of the day of God, when the heavens on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We need to tell people, this earth will be destroyed. There's coming a day of reckoning. It's going to be torched. And then if you turn to Revelation chapter 21, there's Revelation, the 21st chapter. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. If I'm alive at the time when they cover the mark of the beast, there'll be one thing that will be in my mind. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make it there. I'm not going to sell my soul for some food, for some medical care, for a place to live, a car to drive. I will tell those hell-bent men, guards, soldiers, whatever they are, I would tell them this. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. But I will never let go of Jesus. The worst you can do is to kill me and send me to heaven. Take your mark of the beast and shove it. You know where. And tell a man of sin, the Antichrist, that someday he's going to go to hell. Actually, he's not going to go to hell. He's going to go to the lake of fire. Have you made up your mind? Have you made up your mind how you're going to do on that day? Let's talk quickly about life after the flood. Turn to Genesis now, chapter 9. The ninth chapter. You know, this is what I found out here on earth. It is actually easier to serve God when it's a hard time. When you get blessed, it is much harder to serve God. Because you got so many things to take care of when you get blessed, right? Too many cars, too many this, too many that. God gave Noah 350 years after the flood. He lived a total of 950 years. And in Genesis 9:28, we read this. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. Noah and his three sons represented the human race. And they were given a command in Genesis 9:1-11 that they were to be fruitful and multiply. And then God gave Noah the rainbow as a sign that he would not give it to Adam. You know, Adam could have never got the rainbow sign. You know why? It never rained. That's why he got it to Noah. Now turn to 9:20. 9:20. And I want to read this to you now. So I'm staying my text here. Noah made a great mistake. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why Noah revived the skill of making alcohol with the fallen angels that taught men before the flood. Alcohol is the most common drug in the world that's destroyed families, caused men to murder, commit adultery, fornication, filled prisons and made people homeless, and live on the streets. Alcohol has been the worst drug and is the worst drug existing. It destroyed a lot of people. In Genesis 9:20 now, we read this. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank out of wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. I don't believe that God intended for Noah to be drunk. I don't believe that God wants anyone to be drunk and intoxicated. And we simply do not understand why this is happening. Now, if God had not written the Bible, then these verses would not have existed. You know, when we write our biographies, we don't write our big mistakes. We don't write about the bad things we did. We write about the good things, and we omit the rest of it. But the Bible is written by God. And God brings out the good, and he brings out the bad. So now, Noah had got drunk. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 20 right now. It's Proverbs chapter 20. And this is not a man that wrote this. In Proverbs 20, this is Solomon said this, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Then turn to Proverbs 23. It's Proverbs chapter 23. And you pick it up in verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not you upon a wine when it is red, when it gives its color in a cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last it bites like a serpent, stings like an adder. Your eyes shall behold strange women, your heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, you shall be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, as he that lies on the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shall you say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it again. There is no excuse for drinking of alcohol. Absolutely none. Now, Paul said to Timothy, have a little wine for your stomach's sake. And that was medication-wise. Paul didn't say to Timothy, well, you know, you worked hard, so why don't you get drunk for a little while, you know, and just relax. It was medication. I heard many alcoholics say this. Well, you know what the Bible says, you know, we can have a little wine for our stomach's sake, you know. And that's what I drink wine, or I drink booze, whatever it is. It was medication, not to get drunk. Noah was a blessing before, Noah was a blessing by pleasing God before the flood. But he caused a curse after the flood. His son got cursed, and his children. And if you turn on to Genesis chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, and I want to pick it up here in verse number 22. And Ham the father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment laid upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces went backward and they saw their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem and Canaan shall be his servants. Now, was it fair to Ham's children? Was it fair to Ham's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to be cursed? Was it fair? Was it their fault? They got cursed because someone got drunk. And their father uncovered his father's nakedness. Sin causes curses to go in generations unless we break them. Now, the children of Noah and the three sons, after a few generations, they were back in the evil ways. Turn to Genesis 11. And the whole earth was the one language and the one speech. And it came to pass that they journeyed from the east that they came, found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they brick for stone and slime it for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make a name, lest it be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. They have one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound the language, that they may understand that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. How many of you have children that are straying? Grandchildren that you're praying for that are straying? It breaks your heart. Is there anything we can do if we have made a mistake? Yes, there is something we can do. We can go to God and say, My Heavenly Father, in my youth, I made mistakes. I made the wrong decisions, and I regret it. Father, I thank you for forgiving me for this. And now I'm coming to you and I'm pleading for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Please, please, Lord, give them the gift of repentance. Give them the gift of repentance. Lay not my sins upon them or our ancestors, but have mercy. How many parents are praying like this? How many parents are beside themselves and on before God time and time again? Very few. We got cold hearts. Let me summarize this now. Turn quickly to Hebrews 11:7. As Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the same as his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness which is by faith. Noah had faith in God. In fear, he prepared an ark, served the Lord, saved his three sons. My conclusion, notice now this is my conclusion, is that Noah did not end well. He faced giants and evil all around him before the flood that drove him into the arms of God. But life in the aftermath was easy. And he made a fatal mistake in letting go of his tight walk with God and pursued his fleshly desires of getting drunk. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Most important thing here today is not to look so much upon Noah's mistake he made at the end, but look upon you and me. How are we planning to finish our lives? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take lead, lest he fail, lest he fall. There's no temptation taken but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above the able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. We got to recognize any one of us can fall into sin. Every one of us got a weak spot. There's no one in here or listening to me, watching, and I can sympathize, but you know, I will never fall. You're a fool if you say that. All of us can fall. Everyone has got a weak spot. And the devil is not going to come in and hit you where you're strong. He's going to come in and hit you where you are weak. And we need to find our weak spots and say, God, strengthen them. Strengthen them. And then when you are attacked, call for help. Ask someone to minister to you. And then we look in John 15. John chapter 15. And I really wanted you to get this point. Faith. Faith without obedience is deadly. If you have faith, but you don't have obedience, it's deadly. We sing a song, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Faith without obedience is deadly. In John 15, 1 through 6, we read this. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same, bring forth not fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Obedience. Now, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, Jan Peterson made contact with his ministry. And he began to describe to me how his life was. And I had faith. I said, that's not a problem. God can fix this. There can be a deliverance. You can be healed, set free. There's not a problem. I had the faith. Man, here was my plan. I didn't want to do any more deliverances. So Joe and Satiris, it's a team that we had trained. And I was talking to Jan on the phone, and I was simply saying, you know, I can say this in faith because I know that Satiris and Joe will do the work. And guess what? Satiris got sick. I had to do the work. Now, I don't particularly care for deliverances. I've done too many of them. It's dirty work. It's not fun, you know, to say that, throw out demons, you know, do this and that. That's not fun. I want to talk about healing. I want to talk about good things. But you know what? I had to be obedient with my faith. I had to be obedient. I had to put my body in the same room and be part of the deliverance team. I could have faith and flaked. And John could have flown back to Sweden with all his demons. But I had to have faith and obedience. You understand that? It's easy to have faith. Oh, I have faith for this, I have faith for that. But are you obedient when God calls you to do something he wants you to do? I read again that last verse one more time. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. God simply says, I'm going to clean his house. I clean it up. I use somebody else. If I can summarize now what we learned about Noah. Look upon the last statement I made here. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. And I want you to think about this here today. You started well. You're doing okay now. How do you plan to finish? Strong. Or will you finish in defeat? Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to strengthen myself. Lord, I'm really not looking forward to the time of the Antichrist. It'd be very lovely if you would kick that up a few years so I can take my flight to heaven first. But Father God, your will should be done. And I pray today for the people here and the people I've been watching. Father God, help us to repent if we have been disobedient. Help us to have faith. Help us also to have obedience. So that, Father God, we can finish well. Lord, when we walk into the pearly gates, we want to hear the words, "Come hither, you faithful servant. Come here, you faithful servant." And Jesus would acknowledge us. Not like he would say to the Father, "Oh, Father God, look at that guy coming in. I really don't like him, but he made it." Father, help us to finish strong. In Jesus' name. And those of you watching, if you're not saved, and you say, "I'm not even saved, what can I do?" Ask God to forgive your sins right now. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And say, "I believe. Jesus, come on in, be my Lord and Savior." And he will save you. If you're here today, you need a healing, come on up. If you need to rededicate your life, come on up. The altars are open, the elders are here. Deacons is here. You come. And if you're watching, call us, write us. But most of all, speak to God. And he will meet all your needs. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fifth part in the series, Walking in Faith, and was entitled, The Man That Floated Away. Noah faithfully preached salvation through faith in the Lord until he finished the ark, and God then loaded the ship with the animals, birds, and insects, and the floodwaters came after the Lord closed the door. The ark was seaworthy, but it had no rudder, sails, or oars to control its movement. And Noah and his family had to persevere in cramped quarters until God released them 1 year later. Noah faced giants and evil all around him for 600 years before the flood that stiffened his resolve to serve the Lord. But he began to relax after the flood, and his spiritual life took a dive in the absence of all the previous pressure. Eventually, he made the fatal mistake of letting go of his tight walk with God and pursued his fleshly desire of getting drunk, cursed one of his sons, and that is the last record of him in the Bible. It's a shame that Noah started as a hero of the faith, but ended his life in defeat. Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. What will you choose to do? This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1307. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.